Toby never quite lost consciousness, and the long, dark tunnel that engulfed him at O'Keefe's shortened and spat him out into awareness that he was swaddled in a wrap, held tight by restraints. He tried to speak, but he could not move his jaw or his tongue. He could not even move his eyes. He stared almost straight up at the inside of a vehicle of some kind. A face moved into his line of vision.
Coming too, are you? You'll find you can't move.
If I can't move, if they paralyzed me, how am I breathing?
All at once, he was conscious of something in his throat, of pressure on his chest.
You're on a respirator. Just keep that in mind, boy. If we turn it off, you die.
Toby wanted to say something, explain to someone that it wasn't his fault, that he had done everything he was supposed to, but he couldn't.
Oh, Stella must be frantic. Does she even know? Where are my escorts? Where's Zori? Is she also a captive? Or hurt? Will Stella blame Zori when she finds out I'm missing?
The men, he could now see their bodies when they leaned over to unhook his stretcher from the vehicle, worked swiftly. One of them laid a jacket over his face, blinding him. He could just see light through the weave of the cloth. He told himself to think, to observe, but he heard nothing identifiable. They carried him through a door and along what he thought was a narrow corridor. When the man pulled the jacket off his face, Toby saw a bright light directly overhead, painfully bright. The man leaned over him again and sprayed something on his eyes. His vision blurred, but that did not dim the light enough for comfort.
That gel keeps your eyes from drying out. The paralysis won't wear off for hours. You're safe enough here. When you move, the instruments will tell us, and we'll have a little chat. Have a pleasant evening.
He moved out of Toby's view.
What's going to happen to me? To Zori?
He had a few moments of panic, but with the suddenness of a switch being thrown, it vanished, replaced by the familiar alert concentration he felt when working on a new technical problem.
Something in the drug? Shouldn't I still be too scared to think?
Rafe had said something about that, about the ability to wall off the fear and think through problems. Toby tested that with a math problem from that morning's class. Whatever this detachment was, it wasn't simply inability to think. If he could think, he should be able to get himself out of this somehow. His skull phone wouldn't work without being able to use the tiny muscles in his throat.
Can I detect surveillance in the room with my implant?
He started testing that. Obligingly, his implant produced a wireframe display of the room, with little red dots where instruments were located. That included the surface on which he lay, a medical sensor pad measuring vital functions.
Oh, what's it telling them?
His implant also monitored his vital functions. Respirations controlled at 12 per minute, heart rate 80, faster than his own normal. Normal temperature, blood chemistry. Toby would have frowned in concentration if he'd been able to. Last semester's chemical database was still in his implant. It displayed the structure of the molecules that held him captive, and how to break them apart as well, in the implant's biochemical hierarchy. But the room's sensors would tell his captors if he moved. They would come back. That could be worse. Maybe patience would be the best tactic here. Stella would find him. Someone had to know by now he was missing. He refused to think about the alternative, but he could not help thinking of Zori. Of course she wasn't. She hadn't. But the same men who had captured him might have captured her, and Stella wouldn't be as concerned about Zori. He had to get free and make sure Zori was safe. Meanwhile, the light boring into his helpless eyes hurt more and more with every boring minute. So did the tube in his throat.
Maybe my implant can at least fox the medical pad.
His implant told him that the med pad's data report function was hard-cabled to some external location, with safeguard functions to detect RF interference in the usual ranges. Yet the data collection function needed RF sensitivity to the electrical emissions of his own body. He could interfere there, at the source, at least as long as his implant's transmissions matched the parameters the med pad had been programmed to pick up. He queried, feeding the merest trickle of power to the external channel, and the pad responded, reporting a fictional heartbeat. That worked. Excitement made his heart speed up. He hoped his captors would think it was from fear and pain. The light boring into his eyes, the choking feel of the tube in his throat, had to be fixed next. He had access to his implant's biocontrols. That meant access to conditioned sleep, pain management for both acute and chronic pain, even complete sensory decoupling. That came with major warning flags. Not a good idea. But interfering with pain signals from his eyes and throat seemed safe enough. Immediate relief. Toby felt a burst of confidence.
Now what?
Control the entire med pad output. If he could do that, then he could deconstruct the paralyzing drug most of the way without revealing changes in metabolism. Toby defined the parameters and instructed his implant to insert them into the data stream. Then he damped his throat sensitivity to the tube even further. If he could break down the paralyzing chemical, the first natural movement would be a gag reflex and a blink, something the video surveillance would pick up. He had to appear to be paralyzed right up to the moment he was ready to take on whatever came next. Then he set to work on the chemical problem.
Can the reaction products from breaking down the paralyzing drug counteract the effects of hours of immobilization? Strength? Agility? What else?
You what?
Stella glared at Toby's escort and the peacekeeper that accompanied him. The escort was a mass of bruises, scrapes, and cuts.
He was abducted. And yes, Sarah, I know we've given you ample cause for anger. Dwerin is dead. Died in his defense. I hope you will remember...
When I have time to remember, I will honor his sacrifice. But right now, Toby is in danger.
We are searching for him. We have a good description of the abductors and the vehicle from Zori Luari.
Her! I knew there was something...
Sarah, she has been most helpful. She told us to contact you at once. She has refused to return to her parents' home and wishes to see you.
The last thing Stella wanted to see was a hysterical teenage girl in love, whether she was guilty of anything else or not.
I don't have time.
But the man was already nodding at the door. Zori rushed in.
I have to see you. You have his dog. You have to get his dog.
Rascal? Why?
Toby told me about it. About his dog at home, where he came from. He said it could follow scent. It could find anyone it knew. Rascal can follow his trail and find him. They won't think of that. We don't have any other dogs on the station.
Stella wondered for a moment if it could work.
Zori, not all dogs can track. I don't think Rascal's that kind of dog. Dogs bred to follow scent or a different breed.
Tears glittered in Zori's eyes.
But Rascal loves him. We have to try. We can't just let him disappear. What if they put him in a ship and take him away?
It's a dog, Sarah. Isn't it true that dogs can track individuals through cities, even?
Some dogs.
It was at least an idea, better than some. Stella patted Zori's shoulder, feeling at least 60.
Zori, you really should go home.
I can't. I think my father... I told them.
Sarah Luari has made accusations against her father. Until those allegations are resolved, it would be better for her to have no contact with her parents.
He gave Stella a meaningful look. It took her a long pause to catch on.
Oh, no. You want me to take her in? In the middle of all this?
Well, it would be a great kindness, and in accordance with our customs.
That sounded more like a forced exchange of hostages than a kindness.
It might be helpful in our investigation of your cousin's disappearance. Sarah Luari seems to be linked to more than one problem. Otherwise, I'm afraid she'll have to stay in protective custody in jail, and we have no facilities for that, really.
I don't think I can take responsibility for another juvenile. Not when I've already lost one.
Well, you will have our assistance. Please, Sarah.
Zori looked at her, tears obvious. Stella could not ignore that, any more than she could have ignored Toby.
But is it legal?
You will become her warden under our regulations governing protective custody.
The problem I see is that my ward was abducted and his escorts attacked, one of them killed. I'm not sure I can keep Zori safe if someone comes after her, and her family certainly may.
We will notify her family that she is in protective custody. They will understand what that means under our laws and customs. We will provide additional security for you, quite reasonable as your cousin was abducted, and this should deter potential attackers. You are free to use your own security service as well and make such additional arrangements as seem best. We would recommend that she not attend school tomorrow.
Very well. I would like an official vehicle with shielding for our return to my apartment. Whoever went after Toby may have intended to go after Zori as well. And she needs a chance to clean up and get some rest.
I don't need rest.
Are you sure the dog can't help us find him?
An idea glimmered in the back of Stella's mind. She needed time alone to figure it out.
Not absolutely certain. And it is an idea to be tried, perhaps.